Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
FM News Talk 97.1. Podcast. FM News Talk 97.1.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what you're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rip my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
I gotta go, but I gotta say, a lot of it was probably, look, neighbor Williams or whoever got their kid got into Harvard, so we gotta get our kid into Princeton or Harvard. A lot of it had to do with the parents more so than the kids. Keeping up with the Joneses, that's what my mom would say.
Same thing.
We don't need to keep up with the Joneses, we're the Lemons.
That's Don Lemon on CNN. Is he on CNN? Mm-hmm. He's on CNN, right?
He is.
Don Lemon.
Tucker makes me laugh. Talking about this college admissions scandal, Operation Varsity Blues.
Is that? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. This has been going on since 2011.
Yeah.
That's yikes. Crazy. Yeah. He's suggesting there that it has to do with keeping up with the Joneses, and as Tony reported in our highlight segment at 12:25, that it also had to do with Donald Trump.
Yeah,
you can't even say
whole,
seriously.
He made the whole story about Donald Trump.
So if you were listening before we went to a break, you know that I was talking about there's a story out there right now about Rudy Giuliani and Michael Cohen having a back channel. Tony wasn't listening at that time, but we filled him in since then. Which is okay. He was researching some very important information that he needed to check out. So, but the suggestion.
I have two pairs of headphones.
See, yeah,
the
he
station
does.
Station and the news.
He
headphones.
Had on the black headphones. I
had on
known.
The news headphones.
Right now on CNN, it says new emails detail in quotations back channel between Giuliani and Cohen. Tony, that sounds pretty terrible.
Yeah, you want the real details?
I do.
So, this is from CNN's own website. So, that's important to note. This all goes back to Michael Cohen is trying to accuse the president of teasing him with a pardon if he didn't cooperate with these investigations. And he's trying to prove with these letters that were released by CNN today that happened. He's showing these letters as proof that the president dangled the idea of a pardon if he didn't cooperate with investigations against him. Two emails were presented today. Both were dated April 21st, 2018. These are among the documents provided to Congress by the president's former attorney, Michael Cohen. They do not specifically mention a pardon. Cohen, in his closed-door testimony, has provided these emails in an effort to corroborate his claim that a pardon was dangled before he decided to cooperate with federal prosecutors, according to sources familiar with his testimony. There's a line in one of the emails that everybody – that when you look at CNN or you see this report, it's highlighted on this letter, and it says that night, April 21st, 2018, it says – sleep well tonight, and then a little bit later on down the line, you have friends in high places. Sorry, I still have Garth Brooks in my head. Sleep well tonight, because
friends
you
in low places.
Because you have
if
friends.
That's not true, I don't know what is.
Sleep well tonight because you have friends in high places. Now, the attorney who wrote these emails is a guy named Robert Costello. He told CNN that Cohen's interpretation of events is, quote, utter nonsense. Costello, who's the person that wrote this letter that said, sleep well, he says Cohen asked him to raise the issue of a pardon with Giuliani. This Robert Costello has a good relationship, has known and worked with Rudy Giuliani for a long time. So Cohen is saying that this Robert Costello was thinking about representing Cohen, and Costello was using his relationship with Rudy Giuliani, telling Cohen, like, hey, I'm friends with Rudy. I'll have Rudy talk to the president and we can get, you know, we're going to get you this pardon. And Cohen wanted to get a pardon. And he's saying that the president was teasing him with this. But again, this attorney that wrote the letter that said, sleep well tonight, Robert Costello, he says that Cohen's interpretation of that sentence in that letter is utter nonsense. He goes on to say, this is a quote from Robert Costello. Does dangled mean that he, Cohen, raised it and I mentioned it to Giuliani and Giuliani said the president is not going to discuss pardons with anybody? If that's dangling it, that's dangling it for about 15 seconds. he said that Cohen was pressuring him to try to get either Rudy or the president to commit to giving him a pardon. And Costello says, in regards to that, he says, the first time, this is another quote, the first time I kind of danced around the issue because Michael brought it up with me and I told him, look, this is way too premature. But if you want me to bring it up, I will bring it up. And I did. And the answer from Rudy Giuliani, from the president, was he's not going to discuss pardons with anybody. So Cohen is saying that it was dangled in front of him, but the man who wrote the letter is saying that's utter nonsense and that Rudy had told him that the president's not discussing it.
So maybe not.
But if you only look at that letter and you don't have any of that backstory that I just gave, and you see a highlighted sentence that says, sleep well tonight, you have friends in high places.
What purpose does the letter serve? And it can serve different purposes.
Yeah, if you don't know anything else, then sure, you can put together this story that that means that the president said he's going to pardon me and the president's the friend in the high place and, you know.
Yeah. It's
it also could just be a lawyer trying to calm down his client saying, look, things are going to be okay. Sleep well tonight. You have a lot of friends. We're going to work this out.
It's interesting to me because when you see a lower third on CNN say that there was a back channel between Giuliani and Cohen.
That's this Costello.
That is that. Yeah. But that's as far as a lot of people need. Yeah,
right.
To know about the details of the story to
and
then
that's
use
this
it.
Costello lawyer was friends with Giuliani, but was also maybe going to represent Cohen. So CNN is saying that this lawyer, because he was going to represent Cohen, but is also friends with Giuliani, that he was the back channel.
And
he was going to be able to communicate through his friend Rudy Giuliani with the president and make this happen. This guy is the back channel, and this guy is saying that that's ridiculous.
Well, I think that it's useful as a lower third. They've spent at least 30 minutes on this story now on CNN. If it develops into something else, we'll let you know. But as of this point in time, it seems as though conversations were made and things were said that could be taken in many, many, many ways. And if CNN wants to pick one of those many ways to take it without paying attention to the context of the people who are actually involved in the situation, that's CNN for you. You know, that's what you're going to get from them. There's also reports right now going back to the college admission scandal, Operation Varsity Blues. That the guy who they arrested in this, who was helping all these people, he says he helped over 800 families.
My gosh.
In this whole thing.
My gosh.
So
I mean, it's been going on for like a decade.
Lots of people suggesting that this is the tip of the iceberg.
He's a lot younger than I thought he would be. Yeah. The guy, the manipulator behind all of this. When I saw a picture of him.
Not to be confused with Michael Cohen.
Yes.
A different scandal, a different situation, and a different man who's going to jail.
Apparently, there was only one guy that took all the ACT tests. Well, yeah. But then he had one guy, the hub guy, Singer, I think is his name, had one guy that took all these ACT and SAT tests for all these kids.
Mm-hmm.
And had been doing it for years and years. It's crazy.
Have you seen the Lori? Is it Lori Loughlin's daughter who's out there right now?
Oh, that clip.
She's like, I don't even want to go to college, but I want to have the experience of like game days and parties. But I don't really know if I'm going to go to class.
Oh, yeah,
I don't
want to
go. And then she's like, you know, she's
you know what I mean? Yeah, you know that about
you. Know, you know, I'm not going to go. You know,
she's
I don't
a YouTube
go to
star. She's a big YouTuber.
She's on Instagram. And
oh
stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
She's my a she's a an influencer. She has 2 million subscribers on YouTube.
Probably more now.
Yeah, that's a good point.
No publicity is bad publicity. Here's a question, though.
One of her most recent videos is called Blinging on a Budget, and it's her with a bunch of jewelry on her hands.
Let's talk about a budget. What does it cost to get you into a school that you don't deserve to go to on a budget? People are discussing the competitive nature of education today. Lots of private school options out there, lots of them. I mean, it's almost like the astronomical prices for some of these, you know, quote unquote elite schools. It's, you hear the number and it almost makes you laugh.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. But there, the conversation about the competitive nature of education should raise concerns about the education that our taxpayer dollars are funding and the amount of competition that is out there that is to circumvent the taxpayer-funded education system. And secondly, let's not ever conflate wanting to try to give your kid a leg up through legal means versus setting up fake nonprofits and laundering money through those types of things to try to get your kid illegally into a school by deceit.
Mm.
Having access to things because you have, everyone's using the P word, the privilege, which frustrates me even in and of itself, because just because you can afford to do something, or maybe because you've made sacrifices in your life so that something that is a priority to you, maybe you drive, you know, a 10-year-old car that's crawling on 200,000 miles on the odometer so that you can afford to send your kids to a nice college or to a private school or to a Christian school. You know, I'm a huge, huge, huge supporter of parochial education. It's important in my life. And I think that it, especially knowing a lot of the things that are being put into the education system, specifically in the state of Illinois, I want my kids in a school that teaches Jesus. Maybe you don't, and that's fine. And maybe, you know, I've had my kids in public school. I went to public school. I went to a public university. The schools that I went to were all fantastic. The school district that my kids were in, fantastic. But there's something you can do in a parochial school that you can't in a public school. I get it. But the idea of privilege when it comes to just, you know, affordable alternative options to public education, I think that we need to not blanket statement the idea of not going to a public school as somehow being privileged. Being somebody who went through Lutheran schools my whole life, save 1 year of high school, I went to school with a lot of people whose parents, you know, looking back on it, made enormous sacrifices to be able to afford to send their kids to these schools. It wasn't like everybody was rolling up in their, you know, Escalades and, mm-hmm. and having
BMWs
big pool and parties mm-hmm. at their mansions on the weekend. And it wasn't like that at all. As a matter of fact, I'd almost say it was less likely to be like that, that the people who went there were from affluent families. They were just people for the parochial situation who valued the religious aspect of it. And then there are schools who do that that aren't Christian, that are still religious, and that's great. But there's a lot of discussion now on this specific idea of privilege and the competition that it instills that I think we need to talk more about. So we're going to continue to do that. Plus, I'll take your phone calls, 314-241-9797. We're going to get a quick update from Jared Halperin with Fox News Radio here in a second about the Senate commencing that vote to block President Trump's national emergency declaration. From what we've heard, it seems as though they're going to do it and the president's going to have to veto it. We'll get the update with Jared Halperin in just a second and take your phone calls. So don't go anywhere. Give us a call. Weigh in on the issue, 314-241-9797. Facebook.com/AndyFryShow. and our live web stream at 971talk.com/Annie. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy to be with you. 314-241-9797 if you want to join the show. We're going to be joined now by Fox News Radio's Jared Halperin. Jared, thanks for coming on with us today.
Hey, Annie, how are you?
Doing fine. So we've been had a lot of other things in the news cycle lately, but that total...
One of those weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Makes our jobs easier, I suppose. But the Senate is looking...
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm like one of those like dogs who's like, you know, where's the ball? Where's the...
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
You're fortunate if you have someone that tells you where the ball is, and then you can just go chase it there. Regarding the Senate looking to block President Trump's national emergency declaration, yeah. When's that happening, and what do we anticipate coming of it?
That vote's going to happen tomorrow, and what do I anticipate happening? That's a good question. I think that it will pass. I say that because there are four Senate Republicans who have said that they are going to vote for this, and so far those four have not changed their minds. So that would be enough, assuming every Democrat votes for it, to advance it. It only needs a simple majority because it's a resolution and not legislation. It's interesting, though, because, you know, the White House is putting the squeeze on a lot of these Republican senators, and you can see that in the president's tweet. I got that sense talking to Republican senators yesterday after they had lunch with the vice president, that the squeeze is on, and, you know... Rand Paul, who is going to vote for this resolution, he is against the national emergency. He had predicted last week that he thought there might be as many as 10 or more Republicans to vote for this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he was asked yesterday, "Do you think that number's still at 10?" And he said, "I don't know. These guys are getting beat up pretty good. So if you see somebody leave with the blood dripping out of their ear, maybe they're changing." I mean, you know, you get the sense that. You know, the White House is trying to lessen the blow here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the veto is going to happen. They don't have the votes to override the veto, and everybody understands that. But there is, you know, the thought here that if a Republican-led Senate sort of overwhelmingly passes something like this, that is a pretty big public rebuke of the president of their party. And I think you're seeing both Senate leadership, Republican leadership, and the White House try and mitigate that as much as they can.
Yeah, it does seem to have kind of taken a backseat to some of the other news stories that are in the cycle right now. But I'd imagine that once that goes to the president's desk, it'll be right back up there front and center. How quickly does that happen? Do we know how rapidly the president would be able to veto?
Well, he's got 10 days. I don't think it's going to take them that long to decide.
No?
I don't. I don't know. I mean, I was having a conversation with some colleagues actually about that the other day about, you know, would they want to sort of just veto it, put out a statement that he vetoed it? Would they maybe make a more public display of it? You know, give the president, you know, some airtime to talk about this national emergency again, why it's so important as he vetoes it. And you know, use it to again sort of, you know, because what's interesting, obviously, about this debate is both sides, you know, those for the wall, those against the wall, those in favor of this executive action, those against the executive action, see this as a winning issue politically. So the issue is not going to go away. This is going to be tied up in the courts, we believe now, for some time as well, regardless of what the outcome is on this vote tomorrow. And so the issue is not going away. So I do wonder, to sort of not answer your question, what sort of display the White House may or may not choose to take as it comes to expressing its displeasure with the Congress.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see the aftermath for these Republican senators who do take a separate stance on this specific issue.
One thing that has come out of this is, you know, there was this proposal from the vice president, and now other Republicans were talking about it. Mike Lee has legislation that would essentially put new limits on the National Emergencies Act, so the act that the president is using to take this action, it would put new constraints on that. Instead of having a vote of disapproval, for instance, Congress would have the vote of approval. And so there was a thought, and I talked to Senator John Kennedy, a couple of others about this notion that he believes that perhaps that is a way forward for some of these on-the-fence senators, that they would vote against this resolution with the promise that they'd get the opportunity to vote on actually changing the law to make it more clear what a president can and cannot do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what support something like that would have from the administration. Nancy Pelosi has said that that would not get a vote in the House because she thinks it gives the president a free pass this time, and that's not something she's prepared to do. So, I mean, that was sort of, cold water was thrown on that sort of as soon as it became public. So, again, I don't know if it's going to be real persuasive for some of these on-the-fence senators.
Yes, it's important for people to understand the difference between these senators and their support for building a wall versus what they're voting on, right, what they will be voting on tomorrow, which is the president's usage declaring this as a national emergency and the presidential authority to do something like that.
Yeah. So you'll talk to senators who sort of read this two different ways. And there's a school of thought that, you know, I believe the president has this authority, but maybe the president shouldn't have this authority. There are others that say the president, this is not how the National Emergencies Act was intended to be used. It's not really supposed to be used for appropriating money. Remember, that's another part of this national emergency, is the president reallocating funding, right? So that's been an issue, whether or not that's a violation of the constitutional role of the Congress to be, you know, the keepers of the purse strings.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, talking to some other, you know, and so the idea with maybe re-looking at the National Emergencies Act would sort of be looking at the debate through the prism of, well, maybe the president has the authority to do this under current law, but presidents probably shouldn't have this authority to do it, so let's change the law. Again, I don't know what kind of support that would get from President Trump. Sounds like it's not going to get a vote from the Democratic-controlled House because they believe that it gives the president a pass this time. They want the president to be blocked taking this action, not future action.
Right. Well, Jared Halperin with Fox News Radio, we appreciate your up-to-date insight on this, and it's going to be an interesting next couple 10 days or so as this gets a vote tomorrow, so we'll be paying attention to it.
Sure thing.
Thanks, Jared. We'll talk to you soon. Fox News Radio, Jared Halperin there with that information. So, do you have that story yet? Are you able to talk about that?
Just the headline, essentially, but breaking news, the president is now issuing an emergency order to ground the Boeing 737 MAX and 737, or MAX 8 and 737 MAX 9 jets. These mm-hmm. are the types of aircrafts that have been in a couple of accidents, a couple crashes recently, and many other countries around the world have taken this step. It was something that initially... the president and what we heard here from officials in the United States was not going to be a step that they were going to take. But the president just announced that they are issuing an emergency order to ground those jets. So
Canada had done that earlier today, and there was a suggestion that Canada making that decision would put extra pressure on the United States to do so as well. So a couple of you want to get on the line here. We've got a few lines open, 314-241-9797. We're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll have a little more information on what kind of impact that the grounding of those planes, because there's a suggestion that that would halt a lot of air travel in our country, and how is that going to impact us? So we'll look into that and get you an update as soon as we come back, and we'll also take some phone calls. I want to know what you think about this college admissions scandal. What's at the root of this? If you listen to, as Tucker says, Don Lemon, he thinks it's associated with Trump. Obviously, if anybody wants to make that argument, I'd love to have that kind of, that conversation. Is it about keeping up with the Joneses? Is it about elitism? Is it about just thinking that you are entitled to things because you're famous or because you're wealthy? What's it about? Why was this man helping over 750, up to 800 families shirk the system to get that name across the top of a diploma down the road? 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797. Toll free, 866-455-9797. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So would you have worked to stop in 2012 Facebook's purchase of Instagram?
Yes. And we can, here's the thing, we can go back and still do it. It's possible to go back under antitrust laws and just say, look, we let this merger go through. Often the mergers are on conditions, conditional that they're not going to do this or they're not going to do that. But let the merger go through and look at it and say, it turns out it has anti-competitive effects.
Well, I think Elizabeth Warren is up to something, because there are people experiencing issues right now posting to Facebook and Instagram. According to CNET.com, they say if you can't post a new status on Facebook, it's not you. It's not you. It's them. Facebook and Facebook-owned photo app Instagram are down for some users on Wednesday. The social networks have been having issues since around 9 a.m. Pacific. What is that, 11?
Yeah, basically.
Pause while I do math in my head.
It is. It's 11.
According to tracking site Down Detector. So we are on location in millennially populous places. Katie just died.
Got me too. I didn't have quite the reaction Katie did. But if you want to go back and watch the video.
You can't watch it on Facebook, but you can watch it on YouTube.
You can watch it on YouTube.
I am the jumpiest person.
It got
so
me too.
Annoying.
It
I'm
got
so
me
jumpy.
Too. If you go watch that on YouTube, you'll see Katie about fall over, but you'll definitely see me twitch. Like,
and
whoa.
I'll just be laughing. Oh, it's funny because it says screams, and I know that it's like kind of a jump scream, but I never remember it because I don't play it very much. It'll get you. I'm sorry if I just made you jump at home. I'm not sorry I made Katie and Tony jump, but I'm sorry I made you jump. So Facebook, you know, go like our page on Facebook if you can, facebook.com/AnnieFryShow. You can also like the station page. We put out a ton of great news stuff on our station Facebook page, FM News Talk 97.1. So make sure you like that too. But Facebook is down, and I think Elizabeth Warren is to blame.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously,
she got the ball rolling.
Mm-hmm. So if you have been trying to reach us through Facebook, that's why you can't. But chances are you probably figure that out in 100 other ways with Facebook before it involved our show. I talked about the college admission scandal, Operation Varsity Blues. We find out that the president has just ordered the immediate grounding of all 737 MAX 8 and 9 jets.
Yep.
Do you
this story is fresh.
So I'm going to get to some phone calls here in just a second, but I want to get Tony's update here on the extent of what this means.
The U.S. was the last big country holding out and not grounding these planes. Canada did it earlier today, and that really put a lot of pressure on the United States to do the same, because there's obviously so many flights that go between the two countries that now wouldn't be able to go anyway. So just a few minutes ago, President, speaking from the White House, announced that the United States is issuing an emergency order to ground all 737 MAX 8 and 737 MAX 9 jets and planes associated with that line. He added that both the FAA and Boeing were in agreement with the action. Many of these planes are in the air right now. They are going to continue to their destination. They don't have to make an emergency landing or anything. They're going to finish out wherever they're going, and then they will be grounded at those airports.
How do you feel if you're on that plane right now and you're like, this plane's going to be immediately grounded when I get off of it?
Yeah, so the last flight of it. So I don't have any numbers as far as like how many of those jets are in the, like how many of all airplanes in the United States are the 737 MAX 8 and MAX 9, but the airlines are telling travelers to expect delays.
So the president is speaking on this issue specifically and also taking some questions from the press. Let's listen in to what you have to say. Hold on the line if you're there.
We're in good shape in terms of the money and in terms of the national emergency. Ultimately, we're in very good shape. And we've had great support from the House, from House Republicans. And we have great support from most, as you know, from most of the Senate, from most of the Republican Senate, because this is really a bill on border safety, border security, and it's a bill on, I would say, maybe more than anything else. We're here talking about drug trafficking, and you people know this subject better than anybody. We're talking about drugs. We're talking about human trafficking. This is a bill on human trafficking, on drugs, on all of the things that we're all gathered in this room. We brought up the problem with the Boeing and the jetliners. It's a big problem, but we were really here for another reason, and I thought we should bring this up because you're going to be having a meeting in about a half an hour with the FAA. But this is really a vote not on constitutionality, because it's constitutional. It's not a vote on precedent, because you take a look at what President Obama did with DACA and with so many other things. That was no precedent. This is a vote on border security, and it's a vote on drugs and trafficking and all of that. So, and I think most Republican senators fully understand that.
Senator Rand Paul said that there are a number of Republican senators who were beaten up and pretty bloody because the White House has been going after them to not vote in favor of this bill. How much effort have you been putting into keeping Republicans with you?
Yeah, nobody's beaten up. I said, use your own discretion. But I think it's a bad vote if they go against, I think anybody going against border security, drug trafficking, human trafficking, that's a bad vote. The Democrats are for open borders. They're for crime. I mean, frankly, they're for crime. These people can tell you that better than anyone. When you have open borders, when you don't have a walls, Mike, when you know it very well, all of you folks know it very well. We deal with it all the time. I guess they think it's good politically. I think it happens to be bad politically. I think it's an 80% issue and maybe more than that. But the Democrats, in order to make things difficult, they are for open borders and they're for crime. And the Republicans aren't. But I told Republican senators, vote any way you want. Vote how you feel good. But I think it's bad for a Republican senator. I also think it's bad for a Democrat senator to vote against border security and to vote against the wall. I think if they vote that way, it's a very bad thing for them long into the future. Steve?
The China trade deal doesn't have to include intellectual property.
So the president's speaking right now from the White House. On a myriad of things. We'll continue to keep an eye on this and see if he says anything that makes news. But those airplanes have been grounded here in the United States, as they have in countries around the world. And we will continue to follow this to see what kind of impact it's going to have on air travel for all of us. I want to get to some phone calls here. 314-241-9797. Justin, thanks for calling the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Sure.
I just wanted to make a quick point about the issue with the school scandal here. It'd be one thing if these people had just, especially talking about a $500,000 donation, if they had just donated directly to the school and said, hey, my kid's not quite, you know, good enough to get in here. Can we do something, you know, put this toward a building or something like that, or donate to the athletic fund? I'm sure they probably could have worked it out that way. What makes this even more of an issue is the fact that they were setting up shell companies, or shell charity organizations. And they were donating to the charity, and then that was they were doing what they were doing through that. But if you're donating that much to a charity, do you not think they're going to use that as a tax write-off?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now you've got the IRS involved with it. So you're talking about defrauding the government on top of it.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Justin. Thank you for the phone call. It is so far out of the realm of legality with all of the things that are involved, all the different entities that are involved, and all the people who personally profited off of this racket. You can understand why it took so long and why it's over a $25 million issue with all the money that was involved and exchanged over the course of time. And the guy at the center of all of it said he helped almost 800 families in this instance. Mark, thanks for calling the show.
Hey, what's going on?
Hi.
Anchor lady.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I think with this college scandal thing, I think all the parents that contributed to this looked at their kids and were like, damn, we did you a misservice. You're dumb. So I'm just going to pay for your way to go to college.
Yeah, I don't know I think that if you're aware enough that your kid's not going to be able to get in and you have to do something, have to be self-aware to some extent. I just don't know how that would, you know, like, are they fixing the problem if it doesn't make any sense?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was horrible at taking like my SAT and ACT mm-hmm. and stuff. So, and my parents didn't have a lot of money, so I went the only route that I knew, and I went to the service.
Amen.
And I went to the school through the service, and they had programs where they had actual SAT and ACT tutors.
Yeah.
You know? But I mean, I guess I hate throwing the P word around, but privilege has its payoffs, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it sucks. And I mean, where's my privilege, you know, if that being the case? You know?
Well, you're privileged now because you put in the hard work and you did what was right, and you can sleep well knowing that. Mark, thank you for your service. Thank you for your call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, privilege is definitely in the eye of the beholder, I will say. Let's get to Kevin's call. Kevin, thanks for calling.
Hey. I'm here at home exercising my privilege, cutting chicken for dinner. So next time you play screen for me, almost lost a digit.
No, no, don't do that.
But, yeah, I did. I was like, oh, what the heck? But anyway, depending on who contributed to this, it reminds me of the Madoff scheme. Remember all the liberals? It was the Spielberg types, even Kevin Bacon. All these people heard about him, and they ran to him. He didn't have to go out and recruit them. And to me, this feels an awful lot like it. And if you look at the two people that are predominantly from Hollywood right now, two liberal actresses, and William H. Macy, and then the husband that's the designer, will they quit reporting on it? If it is 800 families, how many more predominant liberals who claim we want equality, everybody has to have a chance,
mm-hmm.
you know, who said, well, except my kids, because, you know, I've got money. And that's how I felt about the Madoff thing. Suddenly, once you started getting these Hollywood types who were involved in it, the coverage changed, you know, on CNN and all that, just the way they did it.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm just curious to see if it doesn't turn out the same way if, you know, all these people that wagged their finger at us, you know, because everybody needs to have a chance. You know, how many kids got cheated out because of your liberal privilege?
Completely. Kevin, thank you for the phone call. Well, be careful cutting your chicken and making dinner. Appreciate you giving us a phone call. You know, going back to what we had on here, Don Lemon talking about this issue and how somehow or another it has to do with keeping up with the Joneses.
I got to go, but I got to say, a lot of it was probably, look, neighbor Williams or whoever got their kid got into Harvard, so we got to get our kid into Princeton or Harvard. A lot of it had to do with the parents more so than the kids. Keeping up with the Joneses, that's what my mom would say.
Same thing.
We don't need to keep up with the Joneses. We're the Lemons.
Excuse me, that was Don Lemon, not Don Lemon.
Mm-hmm. Correction.
Don Lemon. If you're part of the elite, and by that I mean the privileged, wealthy Hollywood or, you know, wealthy CEOs, and you somehow or another are either with your children or to your children or behind your children's back trying to create this mirage of what success looks like, mm-hmm. listen, if your kid, you know, the caller said that their kids were probably too dumb to get in. They're Ivy League schools. We're all too dumb to get in.
It's tough.
If you get to go there because you're smart enough, good for you. But it's not like it's the normal thing to do. It's elite for a reason. And this idea that's been really pushed by leftists in our country in the higher education world, that you somehow or another have to go to some prestigious 4-year or more college, university, whatever. That's not the only way to be successful. As a matter of fact, getting out of there with all that college debt and a low-paying job? That sounds dumb to me. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.